Representative Martin?
Yes, I know, Mr. Speaker, we're getting tired of this, but at the same time, let's correct certain things that have been made that I think really need to be. And I know the votes are on. I see, I'm not really going to argue for winning the case. I know the gentleman has a 21 vote, but I do want to stimulate your conscience. So about 5 years from now, I can come back and say, hey, didn't I tell you so? The gentleman from Kodiak has been very, very good in the past few years in getting monies from the state for equipment, for hospital improvement, and so on. And only because he had real good background information when I sat on the Hess Committee was his request authorized, because they went through the proper channels, and it did not cost as much as some are elaborating about. But because he had the background, Kodiak Hospital got the equipment that it needed. Other legislators came in for their hospitals in their area, and some wild requests were made. Old people are dying, the poor lady didn't get this and this and that, but they had no background whatsoever of the equipment they wanted. It's only $100,000, it's only $200,000, it's only $1.5 million that we're asking for, we might save a life. But they had no background whatsoever. There's only so much money. We have 18 units in the state now, that if you get rid of CONs, that are going to be in a wild fight beginning next year, asking for all kinds of money, for equipment, for renovation, for this and that, and how is this legislative body going to make a decision? I commend the legislator that brought up Glenn Allen, and I've known that doctor for a number of years. And even though he has been pressured by the hospital association to add his name to their needs, he absolutely refuses to. And he's doing a great job up here. He and the Lutheran Church and the volunteers are doing a fabulous job taking care of that whole interior on private monies. And they do not want to be forced in any way, shape, or form with the certificate of need, with the understanding that they will get more money, like $1,000 per bed and so on. They want free enterprise in this state. Do what the good doctor in Glen Allen does.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 19 be adopted in lieu of the original bill? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
13 yeas, 25 nays.
The House has failed to adopt the Finance Committee substitute. We have before us the sponsor substitute for House Bill 19. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that sponsor substitute for House Bill 19 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection?
There is objection. Mr. Speaker, when I was being lobbied and talked to in favor of this legislation, I was told that a number of state programs that had hitherto, or state monies that had hitherto flowed to the hospitals would not be flowing into the hospitals if this CON program was repealed. In other words, they said if you tie us loose from all the encumbrances of the certificate of need, we will loosen ourselves from at least some of the state subsidies that we are now currently receiving. My question, Mr. Speaker, and I raise it in the second reading because I suppose the possibility of an amendment that could be wished to be offered. What state subsidies or monetary assistance is being eliminated with this legislation in exchange, you might say, for allowing the free market to have its say? Are we still going to be paying so many dollars per bed that we do under shared revenues at the present time, or are we still going to be in the capital budget funding construction costs, or any of these being eliminated? As it was at least implied to me that it would be if we adopted the, you might say, a pure form of CON.
Of eliminating it.
Representative Clarkson?
Absolutely none, Mr. Speaker, and that's one of my problems with this legislation. I guess it's not appropriate to discuss that in second reading unless you want to offer an amendment. Fact is, Mr. Speaker, that if you pass this legislation, we'll repeal the only mechanism this state has to control costs. And, Mr. Speaker, there will be nothing in this legislation that will reduce the continued state expenditures for the capital and operating revenue sharing programs and the line item appropriations for capital costs for hospital construction, which I indicated was $153 million in the last 3 years. So those assertions by the advocates of this legislation do not appear in this legislation, the repeal of the revenue sharing provisions.
Representative Furness?
Could we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Miller?
I feel this situation needs changing, and I think it needs amending, but I think it's probably not a simple one-liner, and I will therefore remove my objection at this time, although I certainly feel that this situation that I raised needs attention in this piece of legislation, and I personally could not vote for it without that amendment in there. But at this time, I think it's too complicated for us to just throw out a quickie on the floor here, so I'll remove my objection.
Is there further objection to the motion to advance from second to third reading? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please? Representative Norton, do you have an objection?
Yes, I have.
I didn't hear you. There is continued Sorry. Objection. On the motion, I don't want to get on debate on other issues other than the motion to advance from second to third.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The only concern I had about advancing is that I think most of the people were with the understanding that if we repeal the CON, that there would be provisions within the same bill that automatically Title 2990 and or the bed capacity limit would be also in the same bill. And I think that's very important before we advance. Do we want to put that provision? Do the sponsor of this legislation want to put that amendment in this bill before we advance any further? And I think it's very important because, you know, if you're concerned about your bill succeeding all the way, that's a major question that I know most legislators and the hospital association and the lobbyists here were saying, if you get rid of CON, we also at the same time want the construction financing repealed so that we'd be truly independent. And that's my concern. And I'll leave it up to the sponsor, sir, if they want to progress with this and leave that portion out.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Might I have a short at ease in place?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Martin?
Mr. Speaker, I remove my objection.
Is there further objection to the motion to advance the bill from second to third reading and place on final passage? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 19 by Fritz Hayes, Jaroff, Cato, Lindauer, Zemanski, McBride, and Bussell. An act repealing the Certificate of Need program and providing for an effective date.
Representative Cato?
I'd like to speak for just a moment on the Certificate of Need program. My learned colleague from downtown Anchorage would have us believe that there's no expertise in the local areas. I don't quite go along with this. Each hospital has a community hospital committee, and I feel quite confident that they are capable of determining their needs. I would suggest the lack of expertise lies in the Department of Health, Education, and Social Services. There's one incident I'd like to bring out as to how the Certificate of Need can be bypassed, and this happened in my own community. Harborview Development Center requested an emergency certificate of need for a life safety code correction, re-roofing, mechanical, and energy retrofit. Because this was an emergency, it is a state institution. There was no actual investigation done. There was no work done, merely a certificate of need issued immediately. This, I think, is a bad abuse by the Department of the Certificate of Need program. I have a ream of other things here that I could go on for quite a long time, to show that I feel, and it substantiates my feeling, that the certificate of need is not necessary and that we very definitely should repeal it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, it should come as no surprise to anyone here that I'm going to vote against sponsor substitute for House Bill 19. Let me just briefly tell you why. When you remove the only health care cost containment mechanism this state has, you are going to see health care costs escalate much greater than they are now in the state of Alaska. There will be no mechanism to discourage the poorly thought out health care expenditure in Alaska. Therefore, the $153 million I've been talking about is going to go up even more if you vote to pass a repeal of the Certificate of Need program. In addition, Mr. Speaker, there is increasing evidence on the federal level that we will suffer a financial penalty of approximately $5 million. The argument has been going around that, of course, the federal government has never imposed that penalty. There are indications based on new federal legislation on the Certificate of Need program that, in fact, a state that does not have an effective program for controlling health care costs will, in fact, suffer that penalty. That penalty will be a substantial drawback to the state of Alaska. Based on the information we've seen recently, the Certificate of Need program works in large urban areas. Mr. Speaker, I continue to believe, based on examples I've seen, that it works in rural areas that have a single hospital. The example used by the member from Valdez, of course, would be exempt under the finance version. You would not even have had to have sought a certificate of need, so that isn't a particularly appropriate example at this point. We solved that problem in the Finance Committee substitute. The point to be made, Mr. Speaker, here is that those who vote in favor of this legislation are voting in favor of the hospital industry and against the healthcare consumers of Alaska. Because I can guarantee you that healthcare costs are going to go up in Alaska if you repeal the Certificate of Need program, and I can guarantee you that the rate of expenditure by government in healthcare costs is going to go up if you vote to repeal this program.
I'm going to place a call on the House. Is there further debate? Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, while the call of the House is waiting to be satisfied, just as soon as I can find my note here, I have a little announcement I want to make. Mr. Speaker, we have heard much in recent days, and before I make the announcement, might I revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. They're not really guests. They're with us on an almost daily basis. But there are two young men that I'd like to introduce to the body this morning because we've been watching them now for a week or so on a daily basis. And it's my belief that it's private enterprise at its best working to carry forth the news of the legislature to the state of Alaska. It's not publicly funded, Mr. Speaker. It's privately funded. And I'd like you to help me welcome on a continuing basis over on my left, a young man from filming from Channel 2, Mark Olson. And on my right, Mr. Speaker, representing Channel 13 and also KJUD in Juneau, is Greg Davis. Would you help me welcome him, too?
Is there further debate on the bill before us, Representative Miller?
Speaker, I'd also like to extend that same welcome and say we missed you 2 days ago. We were glad to see one of you there yesterday and glad to see both of you here today. So the outfit you replaced was, of course, here every day. But nevertheless, more than welcome. Thank you, Mr.
Is there further debate on House Bill 19, Representative Locker?
Well, I'd just like to state, Mr. Speaker, that the majority leader said it about a week ago. She said when there's news on this floor, there'll be TV.
Mr. Speaker, question before us is sponsor substitute for House Bill 19. Maybe we'll save for a special order, but since everyone else had the floor, Representative Duncan.
I was just going to say to the majority at this time of the session, there should be news on the floor every day.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, Shall the sponsor substitute for House Bill 19 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
27 yeas, 11 nays.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 19 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of sponsor substitute for House Bill 19 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? There is objection. I'd like to note for the record that the call was satisfied on the vote on final passage for the sponsor substitute for House Bill 19. Representative Clarkson. House, please stand at ease. To the motion that the vote on the passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Representative Clarkson.
Yes, it is.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Clarkson.
The concern I have, Mr. Speaker, is as you know, a recent decision on two certificates of need affect the municipality of Anchorage and two hospitals in that area. The appeal process has not run out for those two hospitals, Mr. Speaker, and it's possible that this legislation with an immediate effective date will go into effect prior to the running of that appeal period. I am concerned, Mr. Speaker, with the effect that may have, the legal cloud that may have on the commissioner's decision with regard to those two hospitals. I would like, with regard to existing certificate of need applications, where the decision has been made by the commissioner, to have that decision supported. The way to do that, Mr. Speaker, is to put this legislation into effect in 90 days from the time it's signed by the governor, and not immediately, to assure that we don't cast a legal cloud over the certificates of need issued by to Humana and Providence hospitals. So I would encourage members, even if you support repeal of the program, please don't throw Anchorage into a legal, questionable legal situation with regard to whether the program applies to the applications of Humana and Providence. So I would encourage you to vote against an immediate effective date, even if you support the repeal.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt the effective date clause for the sponsor substitute for House Bill 19? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
28 yeas, 10 nays.
The effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I serve a notice of reconsideration on my vote on the committee. Well, I guess that's what sponsor substitute for House Bill 19. Just very briefly, Mr. Speaker, if I may state why. There is an amendment that needs to be made on this particular piece of legislation, and I would hope to have that ready by Monday for final consideration.
Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar. Representative Miller.
If I might be allowed an observation, Mr. Speaker, that'll delay the session 2 days.
Yes.
House Bill number 235 by Bussell, Euling, Liska, and Schultz. An act relating to authorizing an advisory vote by the qualified voters of the state on instituting capital punishment for first-degree murder and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 235 under consideration, recommends that it do pass and attaches 4-0 fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, signing do pass, Barnes, Liska, Hayes, and Bussell. Malone signed kill the bill, Wente signed do not pass. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 235 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Bill number 235 by Bussell, Euling, Liska, and Schultz. An act relating to authorizing an advisory vote by the qualified voters of the state on instituting capital punishment for first-degree murder and providing for an effective date.
So debate. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I hadn't intended to speak first on that. I thought may, in fact, as I will ask,
that the proponents of the bill give their reasons for this before I speak. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Bustle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps some of the best remarks on this bill were written by the new commissioner of Health and Social Services in his position paper accompanying the zero fiscal note on this bill, when he says capital punishment issue has historically been one of controversy nationwide, placing the advisory vote question as to whether the Alaska legislature should enact laws to institute capital punishment for first-degree murder on the ballot is viewed as an appropriate approach to resolving this issue. Mr. Speaker, I don't know what the POMs arriving at the mailbox of the other legislators in this body read, but there's a wide variation in the statements that come to me regarding the death penalty issue. And as you and all members of the body know, there's both a House and Senate bill residing in the respective body judiciary committees now to deal with this issue in the form of legislating a penalty for death for certain crimes in this state. To me, and I would hope to the majority of this body, it's essential, because this issue could be so divisive, and it's relative to various moral, ethical, spiritual, intellectual, almost probably every other kind of consideration that we could conceive of. It's essential to me, and I hope again to all members of this body, that we allow the public to express its concern or will, if you will, at the next special election to be held on this matter. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kulpinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose this at this time. Here we are, nearly 2 years ahead of the election, trying to set up a question to be decided at that time. And one of the things I fear is the divisive nature of that campaign. Obviously, those who are for the death penalty and those who are against the death penalty will both organize. And I fear a really divisive campaign in which all the pornography of fear and violence is brought to bear to make us favor the death penalty and to divide us in a question that need us not to divide us. I hate to use theological arguments here, not being a theologian. I do feel that although murder is wrong, and that neither the individual nor the state should commit murder, even in the case of violence.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Bustle, state your point.
Mr. Speaker, perhaps I could ask for a point of order on this issue, as we're talking about an advisory vote here, not whether the death penalty is right or wrong. Mm-hmm. It's strictly an issue to ask the public about.
I could complete my statement. I think it would be in line with this.
Representative Clarkson, do you have a point of order, or you just want to interrupt the other speaker?
Mr. Speaker, as you know, under the rules, you have the... to allow discussion of a point of order before you rule. I would ask that you do that. I can cite the rule if you like, so that I can have an opportunity to speak to the point of order.
You have the floor to speak to the point of order, Representative Clarkson.
The effort, Mr. Speaker, by the Judiciary Chairman to close off debate on this question by raising a point of order is not appropriate. It seems to me, Mr. Speaker, that by voting for this legislation, and I am trying to restrict myself to the point of order, by voting for this legislation, we begin the momentum toward an ultimate action that will result in the killing of a human being. And it seems to me that we ought to have the opportunity to discuss that logical result of this vote before we take the first step, and to not allow this body to discuss the ramifications of capital punishment on this floor I think would be a considerable mistake because it may well result in people not making wise votes on the issue. And I think it would be serious damage to the democratic process and to the process of debate on this floor. I would note, Mr. Speaker, in that context, that there was also no opportunity, essentially no opportunity to discuss this matter in the Judiciary Committee. There were no witnesses called to testify, Mr. Speaker, except for the staff of the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. There was no notice given to interested persons who had requested notice, Mr. Speaker, that they be notified when this bill was brought up for discussion. They were not notified of that, and I confirmed that as early as, again, this morning. There was no serious debate allowed. I would like to quote an editorial from the Anchorage Daily News, which indicates observers predict there will be a pitched legislative debate in Juneau, for the issue cuts to the core of what a civilized society believes about itself and its processes of justice. Sides must be taken and consciences searched before any death penalty bill comes to the floor in either house of the legislature. That has not been done, Mr. Speaker. There has been no serious discussion of this legislation in committee, and I would submit, therefore, Mr. Speaker, that you should reject the point of order and allow full and complete discussion of all of the ramifications of this legislation.
I am going to allow complete discussion on the subject matter. It's been the policy of the House that to the extent possible, we allow considerable latitude during debate, and consistent with that, but without in any way compromising my position to later rule someone out of order on this subject. Continue, Representative Copeland.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Actually, I think the chairman of the Judiciary Committee feared that I was wandering from the point without letting me complete it. I was going to proceed from the point of saying not only are we told from our religious heritage that killing is wrong, but we have gone beyond it 2,000 years ago to the point of preaching and believing in forgiveness. And one of the prayers that we were taught by he that brought us this realization was, a part of it says, "Lead us not into temptation." And what I fear is that this kind of a public vote leads us into temptation. It leads us into the temptation to hate, to fear, and to contemplate not only the commission of murder by someone else, some felon, but by our joint commission of murder. And therefore, although in almost every instance I support public vote, referenda, and the like, this is one place where I must oppose it. Thank you.
I am going to place a call on the House so we can move along quickly with today's business. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking, I think, directly to the question at hand, in the title of the proposed bill, we have institute capital punishment for first-degree murder. Often, throughout our society, we talk about capital punishment in school. For instance, it may be a little whipping, and therefore some parents may be concerned about that. I think that we should spell this out completely and say institute the penalty of death for first-degree murder, because I really believe that would be confusing the real issue before the people. And since you made a little latitude, sir, and with your kindness over the year, in allowing people to go away from the main issue, I'd like to rebut a few statements that were made. Number one, I don't mind an advisory vote, because it would give us an understanding of how the people feel. I personally am opposed to capital punishment. But I also find myself between two worlds sometimes when people, one gentleman mentioned that determination of life we should be worried about. You know, we should cherish life. And I wholeheartedly support that effort. But at what stage are we talking about life? You know, whether it be the unborn child, whether it be a sick person, you know, I'm really concerned about what's being thrown at us. If I had my oars or others, I would probably in the heat of passion, kill someone or kill someone else. But after thinking about it, to pay someone else to do the job, I may not be willing to do that. Getting back to the main question, I do think we ought to delete the word, and I'll leave that up to the sponsor, capital punishment, and put it in very clearly, institute the penalty of death for first-degree murder.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. About 99% of the time, I do know the feelings of the people from my district of which I represent. But there comes a time when you have an issue where you have very strong feelings towards that you're not sure about your district. I am a strong supporter of capital punishment. But nonetheless, I feel that to make a decision like that without knowing how my constituency feel would probably be wrong on my part to be the representative to do so. So in this case, Mr. Speaker, if we do have this advisory vote, which I support, and my public votes against capital punishment, even though the rest of the state votes in favor of it, I, of course, will represent and reflect my district's feelings. And, of course, the true would be vice versa. To the comment to the previous speaker in relation to capital punishment as opposed to death, for some reason or other, he seems to confuse the words corporal punishment with capital punishment. I think the general public would be able to understand this when we take sides and do battle with this issue. The Bible has been quoted here basically coming back to thou shalt not kill. Perhaps, Mr. Speaker, we should look for a more practical approach that the Muslim religion has taken. It says thou shalt not kill except thine enemies. And in some cases, Mr. Speaker, we do have enemies. These are people who would be enemies of society. And I think in this case here, we have to make sure that these enemies of society are not able to do the same act again. At least in this case, we have no repeaters. Thank you.
Representative Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we're losing track of what this is all about. We're talking about an advisory vote. We're not talking about passing a law here to institute capital punishment. And I, too, feel like the previous speaker. I have strong feelings about this issue, personal feelings. And I don't think that we should be allowed to vote on an issue as serious as this without first putting it to the people. We should let the people decide. And again, as the previous speaker mentioned, the Bible has been quoted here, or reference to the Bible has been quoted, and I think we're all forgetting something that's very important. An eye for an eye. It worked for hundreds, thousands of years. Maybe that's what we should go back to. Thank you, sir.
That's correct. Representative Miller?
Yeah. I was going to bring up the Bible, but I will, since the last speaker did it. And perhaps this is one reason why I prefer to follow the Christian faith rather than the Islamic faith. Because Jesus Christ said, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. Mr. Speaker, when Moses broadened the Ten Commandments and laid out the rules that said an eye for an eye, that actually was a great leap forward. Up till that time, if a person in one village had killed a person in another village, the second village, in retribution, killed the whole first village. And so an eye for an eye in that case was in the way of a lessening of death. And, of course, that comes out of the Old Testament, and I think a lot of us here are more enthusiastic about the New Testament. But, Mr. Speaker, those scriptural arguments aside, and quite frankly, I think we can probably, if we all dig, we can find scripture to support our viewpoint if we just want to take words out on both sides of this issue. Mr. Speaker, I think that what we have to realize we're doing here, and the representative from downtown Anchorage spoke on this question, is we're starting a domino with a yes vote on this bill. We're starting a domino effect that can very well end up with somebody being dead. You're pushing that green button can be the equivalent of pushing the green button on an electrocutioner's chair. And I don't think anybody should take this vote in any other light than that. Now, proponents of this legislation may tell you that, as a matter of fact, although this can end in some felon's death, voting no could result in some innocent person's death, because we all know that if you have a death penalty out there, it deters crime. Mr. Speaker, the fact situation is, and the facts are just so clear it just hurts, the death penalty does not deter crime. the type of crimes we're usually talking about right here are crimes of passion, of the moment, when people do something that perhaps they later regret. But in any case, the existence of the deterrent is not what of the death penalty is not what keeps them from doing it. For those premeditated crimes, Mr. Speaker, the word premeditated itself indicates that the murderer, and I suppose mostly what we're talking about is murderers, that the murderer doesn't think he or she is going to get caught. And if you don't think you're going to get caught, then presence of a death penalty is no deterrent. Mr. Speaker, death penalties don't work. All they do is satisfy a blood vengeance satisfaction, perhaps, in some of us. I don't know. But the one thing they don't do is deter crime. They don't deter murder. Mr. Speaker, I don't think it's appropriate for us to put this matter just to an advisory vote. I'm in favor of a lot of advisory votes because they are, you know, advisory, as the nature says. And on some things, as, for instance, permanent fund applications, which are certainly not a matter of moral stature like this, I think they're probably not a bad idea. But, Mr. Speaker, I think we are charged by the Constitution of the State of Alaska to make our very best judgment in a case like this, reaching deep and prayerfully into our consciences and make a decision whether we really, really think that killing still another human being and calling it capital punishment is the right thing to do. And I don't think we have to have an advisory vote on that, Mr. Speaker. I couldn't vote yes for capital punishment if everybody else in my district was for it but me. I couldn't bring myself to push the button that was going to kill intentionally another human being if absolutely everybody else in the state of Alaska was for that court of action. I guess the answer to that is if enough people in this district disagree with me and this is their number one issue or even an important issue in their scheme of things, they'd probably better replace me with somebody that'll vote for the death penalty. But the representative from Anchorage on my left over here, excuse me, on my right, the other says that we ought to take out the word capital punishment and put in death. And he's right. He's right. When we use words like capital punishment, we're disguising what it really is. We're talking about killing other human beings. And, Mr. Speaker, that's not right. I could even come a little bit closer to being amenable to this type of legislation, Mr. Speaker. I could never agree to it, but I think I could probably step at least a step closer if I thought that this type of legislation was going to be conducted evenly and fairly to all concerned, regardless of race, color, status, employment, wealth, poverty, so forth. But every one of us knows, as well as we're sitting here right now, that this type of legislation is not, in any state of the United States, any state of the world for that matter, administered fairly. Mr. Speaker, the last person that was killed by the government of Alaska, that time it was the territory of Alaska, was a black man. The last person before him to have been killed by the territory of Alaska was an Alaska native. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, all across this United States, statistically, although I suppose maybe you'll be able to find somebody of wealth someplace or other if you look long enough and deep enough, but by and large, in an overwhelming way, the people who the states of this United States kill are people who are disadvantaged, that have no money, that have not the facilities to mount an expensive court case in their defense. And Mr. Speaker, that's just not right. And there's no way, we can't construct a law that will make it right. That being the case, Mr. Speaker, even if you could make a case for the deterrence of this type of legislation, which you can't, I would still oppose it. And I repeat again, Mr. Speaker, it does no good to say that, well, we're not really voting on capital punishment here. We're voting on letting the people have their say. Mr. Speaker, I'll say it one more time just for emphasis. If you vote to set in motion what can very well be the death penalty in this state, you might as well be pushing the trip the gallows, or you might as well be pushing the button that will send a charge of electricity through somebody, or you might as well administer the hypodermic if we're going to decide to be modern about our killing. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this. This is not the bill that I thought I was going to vote on, but they are stuck in judiciary at the various other body in this one. I'd like to draw to your attention that the black gentleman, the Alaska Native, that was put to death in the territory of Alaska, it definitely was a deterrent. They did not kill again. Thank you.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to give a fiery oratory as the minority member because I don't think I have to talk this long on it. I conducted a poll from my district, District 15, still receiving some of the results back. I sent out 535 polls, cards, received 235 back as this date. And one of the questions I had on there was, are you in favor of capital punishment for a person convicted of heinous crimes? Now, to me, capital punishment, I think the people understood what capital punishment meant. Because 91% of the people returned these cards, they said, yes, they are in favor of capital punishment. So since this is an advisory vote, the people, to me, have spoken. They want to take another look at this. So all this legislation is doing is giving the voters an opportunity to vote. And I don't think we push this green button here is going to condemn anybody. All it's doing is giving the citizens, the residents of this state, an opportunity to vote on this highly critical issue. If some of these crimes have been committed throughout Alaska in the past year, they really got the attention of a lot of people. The Meech case where 4 teenagers were wiped out and their young youth life is a good example. The crazy shoot-up out of McCarthy where, I recall, 6 people were wiped out over there. The real estate agent at Cantwell where 3 individuals went in there and killed that lady is another example of what's happening in the state. I hear all kinds of comments that capital punishment is not a deterrent. There's one thing for sure, there sure are no second offenders if they're ever given the final choice administered to them. So I will say that this, that at least we in the legislature can give the individuals, the residents of this state, an opportunity to vote on a highly very inflammable issue as we have before us. I urge my fellow colleagues at least give them this opportunity.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that all the gentlemen who have spoken thus far have raised valid and significant points, ranging from the fact that a rich man has never died in the chair to the fact that once you do kill somebody for committing murder, he's unlikely to do so again. But I think it would be appropriate if we do pass this measure, or if this measure is passed, that the people voting on the issue have a very clear understanding of its implications, and I don't believe that that will necessarily have a bearing on the outcome, but I think it's appropriate that people know exactly what it is they're doing. And so I'd like to move, unless you indicate to me that it's out of order, that we move back to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment, that being to simply change the word capital punishment to the death penalty.
Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Gall. Page 1, lines 18, 14, and 8. Line 18, delete capital punishment, add the death penalty. Line 14, delete capital punishment, add the death penalty. Line 8, delete capital punishment, add the death penalty.
There is objection to the motion to return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment. Amendment number 1, Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would speak against the amendment. I didn't bring all of the clippings up, but immediately following the Judiciary Committee's action on this bill, there appeared in almost every newspaper in Anchorage some announcement of the bill's movement, and this is fairly representative of what they bylined them. This says death penalty called. It says nothing about capital punishment nor anything. The news services know what it is, and I doubt seriously if there's anybody that's going to cast a vote one way or another on this that don't know what it is. Therefore, I'd speak against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gall on the amendment.
Yes, sir. Just briefly, with all due respect to the previous speaker, it's much like, and I hate to raise antagonism by mentioning it, it's much like the television debate. There are people in small communities who don't read the Anchorage Times and who might appreciate it if we phrased our referendum clearly, just in the same way as they appreciate it when we phrase our legislation clearly. I don't see that this will damage anybody's position or influence any outcome here. Just a matter of clarity and simplicity, and I would appreciate it if we could pass this amendment.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I support the amendment. I'm sort of surprised at the argument of the Judiciary Chairman. I think the example he gave is a perfect example of the decision by a headline writer, and I have to say a headline writer is one of the most effective people at picking the words that people understand. A headline writer chose not to use the word capital punishment, chose to use the word death penalty. That seems to me to be an argument in favor of the amendment. Mr. Speaker, the Judiciary Chairman in committee and here continues to insist that there's not going to be any question in anybody's mind. Without, I guess I have to single him out, there's at least one member of this body who has indicated that that is not a clear phrase in his mind. I agree with him. There is no question in my mind that there are a number of citizens of this state who will be confused by the use of the term capital punishment. Now, if you want to try to hide this thing or make it hard to get the sense of the people, then vote against this amendment. If you want to make it as clear as possible, you'll support the amendment. And I think the headline writer referred to by the Judiciary Chairman was right on.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Excuse me. Mr. Speaker.